But I say to you what the old man said to his son when he preached his first sermon. He says, never mind, Andrew, son, you'll do better the next time. That was good. I will continue tonight with the Psalms. If I was to ask the oldest person in here tonight what is the best known and the most familiar psalm, I suppose they could tell me. But if I ask the youngest one, the children, I suppose the children could tell you. It's one of the first psalms they learn. They learn to sing it and they learn to repeat it. Psalm 23. Let us read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Show the Lord a bless to us the reading of that psalm. I remember hearing about a missionary who took an interest in one of the little native boys, and he was teaching him this psalm. The boy was sick, lying in bed. The missionary would visit him, and he taught him to say these words by using his fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. As the little boy was dying, they saw his right hand begin to move. And he came over to his fingers and he stopped there. Had his index finger right on the fourth finger here. The Lord is my. He died that way. My shepherd. Seems the little boy had learned the truth. He learned about the shepherd. I wonder if all of us in here tonight would be able to do that if this was our last night on earth. Would be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, as you read down through this psalm, the first thing you notice is that the person writing it, it's the Psalm of David. David's speaking, first of all, about the shepherd. And he's telling us some wonderful things about the shepherd. But when you get down to verse 4, he's no longer speaking about the shepherd. It's obvious here he's speaking to the shepherd. For he's saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, it's one thing to be able to speak about the shepherd. I think you must agree with me, it's an altogether different proposition to be able to speak to the shepherd. You know, I could speak perhaps about the president. I don't know if you might agree with all the things I say about him, but still, I'm not going to say anything here about him, but I could perhaps speak about the president. Or I could speak about the governor. But you know, I've never been in conversation with any of these two gentlemen. I don't suppose they'd be worried. I don't suppose they would have any time to talk to the likes of me. And what I might have to say to them might not be of much interest to them. I could speak about them, but I'm not in conversation with them. You see, my point is this. There's a lot of people who could speak about the Lord. And it may be that what they'll be saying about him may be true. But do they know him in that personal way that he's my shepherd? that they'd be able to speak to him. Now, again, if you look down through the psalm, you'll discover that the writer here puts himself in three different positions relative to the shepherd. In the opening verses, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me," so on. Now, if the shepherd is leading, it's obvious the shepherd is in the front. And we're coming after, like one of the sheep following the shepherd. As most of you know, that in the East, the shepherds act towards the sheep in an altogether different way from what they did in where I was raised. If you'd seen a shepherd with his flock of sheep where I was brought up, the sheep were always being driven in front. Sometimes driven along to the slaughter, but were being driven along. And he would have his two dogs coming, and the shepherd was coming behind them. But you go over to the Middle East, it's an altogether different scene there. The shepherd is going in front, and the sheep are following the shepherd. Now that's the picture you've got here. And so the position of David here, taking the place of a sheep, he says, "My shepherd is before me, I'm following the shepherd." But when you get down to verse 4, he's no longer following the shepherd, he's walking with the shepherd. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So he takes up the place thou art saying, "I'm alongside the shepherd. I'm drawn right alongside him. I'm walking with him." But surely when you come to the 6th verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Thou, says the psalmist, I'm no longer coming on behind. I'm no longer walking alongside. I'm in front. And goodness and mercy are following me. Now you think of those three positions of the sheep relative to the shepherd. And immediately your mind could go to different characters in the Bible. For instance, you remember that man called Joshua, and he had a friend called Caleb. They were outstanding men, you remember? Both of these men wholly followed the Lord. Oh, the other spies didn't. Here was a man, Joshua, who wholly followed the Lord. Wherever the Lord was leading, he was prepared to follow. But then you think of another man, another outstanding character in the New Testament, who was called Enoch. Now Enoch walked with God. He wasn't going before, he wasn't coming after, he was walking with God. At a time when that was a very difficult thing to do. It wasn't a popular thing to do, but he was walking with the Lord. And even if he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would fear no evil. Yet a strange thing, he himself never went into death, he was translated. But then when you come to the last part, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me," David says, "I'm in front now." Do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham? "Walk thou before me and be thou perfect." So it's like this, my friend. As you think of it tonight, how do we stand in relation to the shepherd? Are we keeping near enough to him that we can follow after? He's guiding us. Now, if the shepherd is going before, we're watching his feet. Where he goes, we go, we follow. But it seems to me when you come to the second section, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's his hand, he's got the rod and the staff. And he's protecting us there as we're alongside him. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're sitting down with him now. And here's the provision of his table. But now let us take it in a personal way, because really it's a personal psalm, isn't it? Notice in the psalm how often the writer says, "my" and "I," "me." He's taking the truth of this psalm and he's making it very personal. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, when you come to think of the shepherd, your mind must go to John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ takes the place of being the shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Of course, it's just as true that when you come to the epistle to the Hebrews, he's set before us as the great shepherd, risen again from the dead. Then when you go to Peter's letter, you discover there he's presented as the chief shepherd who come again and claim his own. So we've no hesitation in seeing the Lord presented to us in the Word as being the shepherd, whether he's the good shepherd or the great shepherd or the chief shepherd. He's the shepherd. When you go back to the Old Testament, you have quite a number of men who worked as shepherds. Now remember, shepherds were despised by the Egyptians. They looked down on them. It was a menial task. Anybody could do that. The little fellow at the end of the line, the youngest in the family, would be sent out to look after the sheep. Remember David? The youngest in the family, out looking after sheep. It was a job that any woman could do. You remember when Jacob went away, he found his wife, how it became his wife. She was out looking after the sheep. You see, and he helped to look after sheep. There's quite a number of people in the Old Testament. Isaac, for example, was a shepherd. But Isaac was a very wealthy shepherd. You know, all shepherds are not wealthy. I've seen a lot of poor, poor shepherds in my day. I've seen them living in some very poor, poor houses that some of you here wouldn't even live in. But one thing about them, they were very faithful to the sheep. But Isaac was a wealthy shepherd. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 24. Now his son Jacob was also a shepherd. But there's one thing that marks Jacob as being a shepherd, and that is he was faithful. He could face his uncle, and he could say, look, all these years I've been serving you. And all the years I've been serving you, you have never lost one sheep at my hand. If a sheep was lost, I restored it from amongst mine. You never lost a thing at my hand. I was faithful. Well, Joseph was also a shepherd. But Joseph was hated. Hated by his own brethren. You remember? They hated him so much. There was no cause for it, but they hated him. They sold him as a slave. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years behind the part of the desert. Remember, Moses was in seclusion but working as a shepherd. Then, of course, we all know that the writer of this psalm, David, was a shepherd. He knew what he was talking about. David knew what it meant to go out onto the hillside. Whether it was under the heat of the day or at the cold at night, David knew what it meant to look after the sheep. Yet he became a king. See, Moses became a great leader, but God had trained him. Joseph became a great ruler. God had trained him. David became a king. God had trained him. These men were trained as shepherds before they reached the place of prominence. So if I suggest to you that the Lord Jesus Christ carries with him all these features. Yes, he's a wealthy shepherd, all right. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. All the gold in every vein in the earth belongs to him. The treasures of the mines are his. And if Jacob was faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful, right up to the hilt. Jacob said to his uncle, you never had to account for one sheep If there was one lost, I restored it from mine. The Lord says that not one of his will ever be lost. Not one. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. He's a faithful shepherd. But Joseph was a hated shepherd, so was the Lord. They hated him without a cause and put him on the cross. But you remember Moses, after 40 years of training, came back and he gathered the elders together. He told them what God was going to do, and he became their great leader, and they followed him, and he brought them right out of Egypt and took them on through the wilderness. You ever notice what the Lord did in resurrection? Remember, he said he knew his sheep. He knew them by name. It's wonderful to notice in resurrection how the great shepherd, risen again from the dead, begins to gather his sheep around himself. He knew where to find them. When he went to the cross, his sheep were scattered. In resurrection, he appeared to one of them in the garden, and he just mentioned her name. He says, Mary. And she looked at him and she said, Rabboni. He knew her by name, and she recognized his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know my sheep. He knew Mary and he called her by name. She recognized his voice. Then there was two of them. We don't know their name, but he knew them. And they were walking that day down the road to Emmaus. So they were so despondent. And you know, he gathered himself and he walked with them. Then he revealed himself to them. And they were so elated, they ran all that road back again. All the way back to Jerusalem to tell the others they had seen the Lord. He knew how to get his sheep. And then he came to them in the upper room, you remember, and revealed himself to them there. Then it's obvious that he met with Peter, revealed himself to Peter, and he knew Thomas. He said, Thomas, just look at my hand, look at my side. See, the Lord knew his own. He knew where they were. He knew how to find them. He knew how to draw them. Yes, he is the shepherd prefigured by all these shepherds of the Old Testament. But now David, a shepherd, David knew exactly what he did for his sheep. He knew what was expected of him. He knew how to treat his sheep. But one day, it seems that David was thinking this thing over. David seems to be saying here, now the things that I do for my sheep, these are the very things that the Lord has done for me. So the Lord is my shepherd. And if I expect my sheep to trust me, and I'm expected to care for my sheep, so I see now that I must trust the Lord. And the Lord will keep his promises to me. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, if the Lord is our shepherd, he'll lead us. He says, therefore, if the Lord is leading, I walk in a good path. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep path or not. So easy to get lost, you know, on the hills. But we used to follow those little paths of the sheep. And it was interesting, if you got off the path, and it was easy to get off the path, you might find yourself away down here, when you should have been way up here, this path. But then, if you knew the right path. And it was wonderful to watch the shepherd as he brought his sheep down, how the shepherd knew the path, and he would bring down the sheep, and he would come down that path and lead them right down. He knew where to get his sheep, he knew how to gather them in, and how to bring them down the path. But then you see, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me. Now, if the Lord is leading, you can rest assured I'm walking in a good path. But if we get off the path, if we get in the wrong direction, we might find ourselves in trouble. I've seen us seeing a little lamb. It was obvious the lamb had got off the path somewhere or another, and there it was down there, and it couldn't climb up the rocks, It couldn't get its way back up, but it was bleating, and the ewe couldn't get down to get its lamb. But why did it get there? Because it had strayed. And you know, I'm afraid that sometimes the sheep go astray. And you know, if the sheep go astray, you know, as the poet said, the lambs are sure to follow them. The lamb usually follows the sheep. And if the old sheep goes astray, the lambs will follow. So it's important that we who would count ourselves the older sheep, some of you are not prepared to do that, but you are just the same. And nobody likes to think they're getting old. But you see, when you see the lambs growing up, you know you're getting older. And the lambs are going to watch the sheep. And if we're following the Lord, we'll not be leading the lambs astray. Because the Lord's not leading us astray. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. And if he is leading, and I'm following on like Joshua, wholly following the Lord, you can rest assured this, we're not leading the lambs astray. They'll be following on. So it's up to us. He said, he leadeth me. And he'll not lead us astray. He leads us beside the still water. It's a strange thing, this, about sheep and water. I asked a man on one occasion who took a great deal to do with sheep. I said, have you ever seen a sheep drinking water? He looked at me puzzled for a little while. He said, yes, I did. He says, when I come to think on it, you see, where I was brought up, I never saw sheep drinking water at all. Because the pastures were so moist on the hills. And if they went down to where the little hill stream was coming down, and that was where the greenest of the grass was, and if they're eating that green grass, they didn't seem to need the water. But if there's no green pastures, and there's no moist grass, they'll go for a drink. But with this proviso, they say a sheep will never drink at disturbed water. A sheep must get to the still water. It'll even get frightened if it sees its own reflection. The least noise and the sheep gets afraid. But it'll take a little lap of water where the waters are still. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's led me into the green pastures. Now, if there was green pastures there, it must have been in the shade. The shade perhaps of a mighty rock and the shade of some trees. He leads them into the green pastures. That's where they would lie down to rest in the heat of the day. He leads them beside the still waters. You see how thoughtful the shepherd is for his sheep. David says, what I do for my sheep, my shepherd is doing for me. He restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, David as a sheep was going astray on different occasions, you know that. But the Lord had to lead him back. David said he was leading me back in the paths of righteousness. That's why I've often puzzled this out. I suppose you have too. I wonder, at what time in David's life did he write this psalm? Now, I don't think he wrote it when he was a young shepherd boy. I don't think he wrote it then. He wrote it later on in life, I'm suggesting this to you. But as he reflected back on his early years, and as he reflected on those early years when as a shepherd he looked after his sheep, now in later years he'd say, now, the Lord is my shepherd. He's been doing for me all the things I did for my sheep. And he's thinking of the time when he had well nigh slipped. And the Lord led him back into the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we are apt to take that expression. We sometimes apply it to people who are on the deathbed. I've had preachers at funerals saying, our dear departed friend who has gone through the valley of the shadow Now, I don't think death is the valley of the shadow of death at all. Because Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. They're not going through a kind of purgatory, you know. The moment they were dismissed from this body, they were with the Lord. They're not going through any valley at all. It's you and me that's going through the valley of the shadow of death now. This is the valley of the shadow of death. We've got it all around us. You're not even safe going into a shopping mall now. You know that. You're not safe walking the street. You never know when that fast car is going to blow up as you're passing it. I'm not saying that to frighten you. No, it's fast. It could happen anywhere. You never know if you walk into your bank that somebody's going to come in with a gun until you lie down. Give us your pocketbook. You don't know what's going to happen. Death all around us. It can be rained down on us from the sky. It can burst around you on the street. We are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. People are dying all around us. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? You're with me. You see, I've got great protection. Shepherd is with me. How did David experience that? Well, now, when he was bringing his sheep down from the hills, they're coming down those little ravines, and there's the undergrowth there. Lurking in that undergrowth would be the wild animals, ready to spring on the little lambs and on the sheep. But you see, the shepherd is with them. They're keeping close by him. He's got two things in his hand. He's got a club, a rod. I will fear no evil, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod there is a club. And the staff is that long shepherd's staff with the crook on it. Now there's one thing you've never seen a shepherd do. You've never seen a shepherd thrash a sheep. Or he'll thrash a mule, all right. They'll do all sorts of things to get a mule to move. Or even an ox. They had the ox goad. The ox goad was a long stick with a nail in the front of it or a sharp point on it. And he goaded that ox on with it. Just the same as a man with the horse would use the whip. Goaded on, an ox goad. He didn't do that with sheep. The shepherd would never thrash a sheep. Well, what did he do with the rod and with the staff? Well, the rod was not to thrash the sheep. The rod was to defend the sheep. The rod would be used against the wild animal. And as he went down that little ravine, he would take his rod and he would smite the undergrowth in order to make sure there was nothing lurking there. And he's preparing the way for the sheep to come with him. But if one of his sheep should slip from the path, he didn't use the rod and smack it and say, watch what you're doing. He didn't do that with the sheep. He had his staff. Do you know, if you've ever watched the shepherd's staff, how it's got this peculiar crook on it, there's a reason for that. He would put that long staff down with a crook, and he would put it round the sheep's leg. And he would bring that sheep gently back again, pulling it with one leg, and it would come up and bring it back onto the path. That's what the shepherd's staff was for. Many a time David would do that with his sheep, so he says, I'm going to fear no evil, even if I'm going down through this dark valley. And I'm liable to slip. And there's wild animals there, my enemies are there. I'm going to fear no evil. If ever anyone had enemies, David had them. They were lurking all around him, seeking to destroy him. Many a time he had to live in a cave. But he said, I'm not going to fear any evil. The Lord is with me. He's got his rod. He's got his staff. He'll defend me. I've got good protection. And then he says, I'm going to enjoy a gracious provision. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Someone says, well, That's one thing you can't apply to sheep, because sheep don't sit at a table. Who said? Now, you get the idea. David sat at a table all right, and at the table the food was all prepared for him, and he sat down. Now, he said, what was done for me? That's exactly what I did for my sheep. How did he prepare a table for the sheep? Watch again the shepherd. He doesn't just take his sheep and drive them into any pasture, you know. Before the sheep are allowed to go into the pasture, he examines the pasture. He's watching. First of all, there may be some poisonous weeds there. If there's some poisonous weeds growing amongst the green grass, the sheep will not be allowed to feed there. Now, I'm afraid we've got an awful lot of spiritual poison growing up these days. People are accepting it. And you're supposed to be a little more gracious to them. No, my friend, if a thing is wrong, it's wrong. You cannot treat Mormons as if they were Christians, for they're not. They're dispensing the poison. You can't treat Jehovah's Witnesses as if they were giving you green pastures. They're not. They're giving you poisonous doctrine. The devil is busy spreading his poison. The shepherd takes them on to green pastures. He examines the pastures. Then there may be those little animals there that bury themselves in the sand. They're just waiting, those little serpent affairs, and they're waiting for the sheep to come along, ready to come out and pounce onto its nose, pierce its nose and suck the blood. The shepherd goes out. He's got his little flask and a little bottle of hog oil. And he puts it round the hole where that little viper has buried itself in. That little viper will not come out and come over that hog oil. And when the sheep comes along and smells the hog oil, it turns away. He's prepared the table for his sheep in the presence of their enemies. Now, says David, what I did for my sheep, the Lord has done for me. He's prepared the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I've got an excellent provision, a gracious provision. My shepherd prepares a table for me. I tell you this, my friend, you can read anything in that book, and it's all good. It's good food. It'll nourish the soul. But now look, he comes to the end. He says, what a glorious prospect I've got. When I used to bring my sheep home, he said, perhaps they were still a little hungry. And so when I brought them into the fold, I gave them a little extra, in case they hadn't had enough from the green pastures. I gave them a little extra. But as they're coming into the fold, I want you to watch them now. He still again has his staff. And as the sheep come in and go into the entrance one at a time, the staff is there, and they've got to pass under his staff, and he's counting them. And he's watching them. And his hand may be on their head. There's a thorn. There's a jag there, one there. And he stops that sheep. And he pulls it out. They don't go in with thorns and bruises on them. He takes them out. Then he takes his olive oil. And he anoints the sore with a little soothing oil. He anoints the head. And in they go. Ah, says David, that's what I did for my sheep. That's what the Lord has done for me. Thou anointest my head with oil, and you've given me an extra supply. My cup runneth over. I'm not going to lie down hungry. I've got more to nourish me than I need. And he concludes with this glorious prospect. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's walking before now. Goodness and mercy are going to bring up the rear. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Better than that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he's speaking about the shepherd to begin with. He's walking with the shepherd in the psalm, but now he's going to be dwelling with the shepherd forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Brothers and sisters, you've read that psalm often. I believe you sang this oftener than you sang any other hymn. It's always being sung. Sometimes you sing it perhaps when you're in the house. You can't help it. The Lord's my shepherd. It may be you've got it printed up on a card somewhere and it's in the house, like a text. Look back over the year that's gone, week after week, month after one month, can you look back and say, well, the Lord is my shepherd. You've heard of the little girl who was to quote it at Sunday school. And when the teacher came to her, she says, the Lord is my shepherd. She says, what else after that? And she looked at the teacher and says, the Lord is my shepherd. What more do I want? What more do I want? Ah, how true that is. If the Lord is our shepherd, what more do we want? He'll look after us day by day. He'll call us by name. But my sheep hear my voice. Are we prepared to listen to his voice? My sheep hear my voice and what? And they follow me. It's one thing for David to say, the Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me, but can we turn it round the other way and accept this truth? The Lord is my shepherd. He has called me. I have heard his voice. I prepare to follow him. We sometimes sing it, following Jesus, ever day by day. I ask you, what are we going to do in the year that lies before us if the Lord be not come? Will we make this a kind of New Year resolution? Come what may, day after day, we'll be prepared to listen to his voice and follow him, trusting him every hour, every moment, every day. Let us bow together in prayer. We'll ask our brother Lacey to dismiss us with a word of thanksgiving. Brother Lacey.